All right, remember we were talking about with the NHL awards, what they get right, what they get wrong? All right, I'm going to continue that trend with the NHL draft, what they get right, what they get wrong of the presentation, okay? I like the fact that the commissioner gets out of the way, right? Commissioners have too much power. Roger Goodell announced the picks. It's all about me, me, me. Roger Goodell wants to show off his Daps style
always
with the players. Adam Silver wants to awkwardly hug because even though he's tall, he ain't 7'6", and he's still, like, you know, kissing a dude's chest to try and, like, you know, yeah, shake his hand. Get out of there, commissioners. And also, maybe it's just because I've been rewatching The Sopranos. I often, like, during the summer, you know, you just got a lull. I should rewatching. It's more like there's no sports on, so I have nothing to fall asleep to. So it's like starting an episode and then falling asleep to streaming through five episodes of The Sopranos because they just keep coming one after the other. Right. Maybe it's because I've been watching Sopranos. I kind of like the aspect of, like, your whole, like, NHL family just sort of walks up there to draft you.
Yeah.
And so it's like Brindamore, Waddell,
Dundon,
mm-hmm, a kid.
Yep.
You know, Stormy.
I mean, bring them all.
Yeah. They all just come kind of walking up like, hey, welcome to the family, right, you know? And, like, depending on the team, some look more mobster than others. And it's, you know, it's just a kind of funny observation. Like, they come walking up and they're trying to look cool, right? But they're sort of walking out. As a family, mm-hmm, coming to take you in, they're like, all right, our
welcome
next bit
to the club.
But what I don't like is I want just one guy speaking for the whole group. It felt like every team did this. It was like one guy went up there. And yet, much in the same...
In the
same, like, sense of it being like a mafia thing.
Yeah.
The polite GMs who, like, started were like, we're grateful to be here in Nashville. You guys run a wonderful program. This is a great arena. This is so good. Congratulations on the, you know, like,
right,
it's like it had this, like, family
head boss, there's
family meeting
head boss
mentality about it. And I'm here to say I kind of dig it.
Yeah,
I liked it. I didn't love. Maybe I'm being too picky here because maybe this should be the way it is. Where, like, the one guy talks, but then he's like, but I mean, really, like, I'm the big guy here. Like Dundon doesn't talk, right?
Right, yeah.
Like, the head man doesn't really talk. But even the GM's like, hey, I'm here to introduce everybody, but, like, look, I don't announce picks. That's not what I'm gonna let somebody else handle that, you know? But I didn't like the two people talking. I thought one person should go up there, give the thanks to the family.
Keep the hosting
family, and then make the pick and the same thing. It got awkward when one guy from the team was introducing an assistant guy from the team. I didn't like that part.
Oh yeah.
More importantly, who did they pick? Bradley Nadeau.
Yes.
And let me tell you, I am now a Bradley Nadeau biographer. I know this dude up and down, and I think he is going to be good. Hope springs eternal. No reason not to believe Bradley Nadeau won't be awesome. No, here's the cool thing. Here's the actual rational argument. And it's kind of what we were talking about when you start being seen as a smart sports organization. People see things this way, and you are making smart choices, so there's no reason to believe that these choices aren't smart as well.
Yeah.
And you start to think when you're drafting 30th, you're maybe gambling a little bit, right? But you're looking for somebody who maybe has, like, the it factor or does something at an elite level, and then can you coach everything else to the where it's NHL level, right? And that's what Bradley Nadeau is. This dude can flat out score. I think he set a goal scoring record in whatever league he's going to play. I'm going to be way out of my league if I start trying to talk junior league levels and whatever season we're in. I know he's playing for the University of Maine for a while with his brother. They'll also play there. But they were a tandem in whatever the most recent British Columbia Hockey League he just played in. And he lit up that league and he was the tournament MVP and they won the whole thing. And you can go watch the highlights and see that this dude has kind of an electric shot.
Yeah.
So it's what you're basically betting on whether or not you can get this guy NHL skate ready, NHL fitness ready, NHL strength thread ready. And is he NHL character ready? Is he going to, like, devote his time to being better and being a good teammate? Right.
Right.
And if those things all check out, and maybe it's, you know, there's a thing or two that he lags behind and that you got to get up, then all of a sudden you got a dude on the ice who has an NHL-ready shot. And that's what this dude is. Again, you know me.
And the Canes need.
You know me, Victoria. I do not claim any more hockey analysis than I actually have.
Right.
But this is more of a situational analysis of like the Canes can afford to do this. They're not saying, man, we've only got four NHL-ready defenders.
Mm-hmm.
We're picking eighth, and we got to get a guy that we think by midseason can be, you know, playing for us.
Shape and mold
this
him into
is
something
a,
helpful.
Pick a guy who we think has this NHL skill, and it is this guy's. It's not just like power of a shot, but there is power in the shot. It's creativity. He is,
and that's what we need. Like, I think that's what the Canes definitely need. We need scores, but then also be a little creative with the shots.
Yes.
I mean, you can keep shooting at pads, but be a little creative.
Get creative.
Yeah.
Yes. This is that dude. And so the gamble is, can you make him an HRA? The thing I've left out, and the Canes tend to do this for some reason.
Right.
I do have faith in them. They pick the right guys. I don't know a better way to say this than he's undersized.
Oh,
can we say
small,
undersized?
Fella. Yeah, he
is not enormous.
But once you put the pads on, everyone looks huge. Maybe he'll look average.
I mean, and that's just the gist of it, right? I mean, if the guy were 4 inches taller, then he would be gone at this point.
You know what? As long as he's fast, though, then maybe people won't see him coming.
And that's what I'm saying. That's where I don't know hockey enough to. I won't be able to tell you like, well, his stick skills, his speed, his knowledge. Like somebody else can assess those. I can look at his highlights and read what people are saying and be like, yo, the shot is electric.
Yeah.
The shot is creative. He's got, you know, creative offensive instincts.
Yeah.
And if there are people his size that play in the NHL and have been very good in the NHL, it is not that type of deal,
right? Well, you know what? It's the North Carolina way because we like drafting smaller guys this year. Bryce Young at the Panthers. Now we got Ndo.
How tall are they listing Bryce Young at?
I want to say, what is he, like 5'7", maybe, potentially?
All right.
So, he's
I would like to
guy.
See this guy standing next to, he might be taller than Bryce Young.
Oh, really?
We'll see. But I like this dude. Like, I had to say that part to be honest.
He's 5'10". Bryce Young is 5'10".
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
This guy will be listed as 5'10 as well.
Okay. Well, they'll be the same.
He grew up in a small town, and I don't mean small like Smithfield. I mean small like Micro. That's an actual place for those who aren't from Johnson County. Like 400 people in this town. He met with the media last night. We'll talk to him in about 10 minutes, but let's go through some of the things he said last night, including just his immediate reaction about his thoughts that everything transpired when he got drafted.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable moment when they called my name there. You know, just get the view of my family when they did that. And the reason I'm here is because of them and all the money and the work they put in. So it was just an amazing moment.
Got character. Check.
I know. And he's not
good
joking
first
when it
answer.
Comes to money. Apparently, it's real expensive to be a hockey player.
Yeah. And we'll stuff. talk about with him how expensive it was, how much extra travel he had to do just to get to rinks. He lives out there, y'all. Out there. All right. And I respect the honesty here. We asked him, the media asked him, the people in Nashville asked him what he knew about the Carolina Hurricanes.
Unfortunately, I don't know much, but that's my plan here to kind of do my research and kind of learn more about the organization in the next few days.
Next up, he was asked about what kind of game he plays.
I'm a hardworking offensive forward, kind of creative player. I take a lot of pride in my shot. I think it's like one of my good attributes.
And then another good answer here, any players he likes to model his game after?
Mitch Marner is one of them. I think it's one guy I've been watching a lot in the NHL and kind of try to model my game around him. And I want to get my skating to Seth Jarvis, so that's a player comparable for on the team I got drafted to. So.
For reference, I meant the Seth Jarvis part, not the Mitch Marner, right?
Right, yes.
Respect that he was able to shout out Seth Jarvis there. He was asked if he had any knowledge beforehand that the Canes might draft him. Here's what he said.
Not really, no. I didn't know what to expect. I think all the teams, you know, it was similar meetings. And when they called my name, I was a bit surprised, but I was relieved.
And he was asked, he might not be, I don't think he's projected to play for the Canes next year, right? He's going to play college hockey, get a little bit bigger, get a little bit stronger, get a little bit older. But he was asked if he thinks he can be a goal scorer in the NHL.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be able to bring that there and kind of, you know, make an impact for that team and help them win.
And we talked about him, all the travel he did, apparently moved across the country. If I start talking my Canadian geography. It'll be about as bad as if I do like actual hockey analysis. So I won't tell you where I moved from. I'll just say a lot of people say it was a long way. He was asked why that was the best move of his career.
I think, you know, there was a lot of teams there kind of watching us play there. I know if I would have played Maritimes a bit less. So I wanted the exposure for my 2 years of junior. So that's kind of why I ended up going to BCHL.
And then just to flex on everyone, we were talking about, you know, definitely give dudes who were drafted from another country a pass, you know, on like learning English.
Yeah.
You know, some of these dudes are 18 years old, and many of them learn English and are very good at it. And many of you that are mad that they don't speak English only speak one language yourselves. So, like, also check yourself on that. And then, but he did flex. Because being from Canada, of course, he did like half of his interview in French. Just for our French-speaking audience, we wanted to give you one. I wish it was Spanish, because then I could at least like maybe...
Maybe somebody can tweet at us what this...
somebody tweet at us
this answer
what
is.
This answer is.
Ah, c'est sûr, tu sais, là, tu domines tout le temps français, ça, tu sais, ils trouvent ça pas mal spécial, c'est quoi je fais, puis, tu sais, savoir que je suis un des premiers joueurs, ben, le premier joueur qui peut accomplir ça, cette communauté-là, c'est vraiment spécial.
Couldn't agree more.
I mean, it sounded good.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. The character.
Yeah.
High character guy.
I like it.
I like the confidence there. and yes, and just mere minutes ago, they may have made another pick since then. I probably need to check to update. The Canes made their second round pick, 62nd pick overall. They took Felix Unger Sorum of Sweden, who I have no idea who he is. I mean, last night I did my job, right? My man got drafted. And I stayed up to like 11 to see him get drafted. And then I was researching. I was diving. I found his dad's Twitter account. I was checking them out. I was trying to find all about my man Bradley. We will talk to him in about 8 or 10 minutes from now. Next up, we had a perfect game last night. Although not really. He threw 99 pitches and only 72 of them were strikes. So I don't know why we call this No. It's a perfect game. 27 batters faced, 27 out for Domingo Germán of the Yankees. They defeat the A's. I believe it was 11-0. First in 11 years. Last one was Felix Hernandez in 2012. The thing about the perfect game is it's an amazing feat. And there are some really good pitchers who threw perfect games. And then there's also just some dudes who threw perfect games. Domingo seems more like a dude. We'll talk more about perfection a little bit later. I mean, again, this is a little bit... Remember our discussion earlier about what unanimous means?
Yes.
Like, yes, if there's 10,000 voters... And all but one of them vote for something. That's an overwhelming majority.
Right.
But that's not unanimous.
But it is not unanimous.
And if you face 27 batters to get 27 out, that's amazing. But you threw 17 balls.
Yeah.
And that's not perfect.
No.
So sorry. I can't.
Doesn't count.
Well, we might ask Josh Goodson about that later because we're going to talk college football win totals a little bit later with him. So next up, getting out the gate, or finally, I should say, the U.S. men's national team. Just rolled over St. Kitts and Nevis. I don't know how St. Kitts and Nevis want to divide that up. We beat them 6-0. Do they split that 3-3? Does St. Kitts take three of those goals and Nevis take three? Is it 4-2? Do they argue about it later? Like the dudes from St. Kitts and the dudes from Nevis are like, no, man, that was five goals were against y'all. Only one is going on us. Whatever it is, we beat them. Jesus Ferrer with a hat trick, I believe, and just absolutely dominated. I think with a win and a tie, they're almost certain to advance now. And I forget, we still got Trinidad and Tobago to play. They could be spry. I won't take a win over Trinidad and Tobago for granted, but I do think there's a decent chance we advance to the knockout round. This was like a no-brainer. I think we scored in like the 11th minute, and then like I was watching, but I was also like watching the hockey drafts because I was trying to figure out when the Canes were going to draft, and some of this was going on about the same time. So I wasn't even like flipping screens. I had my phone working, and I was watching the hockey draft, and I would just go down and look for a little bit, and then I'd look up and I'd be like, "We scored! I missed it," and then I'd look down and be like, "We scored again!" Yeah, the U.S. men's national team making it look easy against St. Kitts and Nevis.
Right.
Both of y'all can take that out.
Mountain Dew Zero Sugar asks, ever wonder what it would be like to live in an alternate universe? Well, friends, welcome to the alternate universe of Mountain Dew Zero Sugar. Because even though it says Zero Sugar right there on the bottle, when you crack one open and try it, the taste is nothing less than outrageously delicious. Hey, transport yourself to an alternate universe with Mountain Dew Zero Sugar. Zero Sugar. All Dew.
Stop by Quality Mart for a refreshingly good deal on Mountain Dew. Get two 20-ounce Mountain Dews for only $3.50. Do the Dew at Quality Mart.